Scripture reading is from Matthew. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So how many of you remember ever being forced to apologize as a kid? You did something wrong. I don't know. Let's say you took a toy from a friend or from another kid at school, and your teacher sits you down and she says, "Now, Chris, you need to apologize." And you whined and you thought about it, but there was no getting out of it. And so you stared at the floor and mumbled the sorriest "I'm sorry" that anyone had ever heard. How many of you did something like that? I can't see you. I'm just going to assume you're all raising your hands. We all hated the apology conversations as kids, didn't we? Well, I've recently learned something about apology conversations. Adults hate them too. My daughter's only 3, but we've already had the apology conversation several times, and they are even worse when you're the adult. Not just because the whole thing is like pulling teeth, although it is, but because when the kid finally does apologize, you know they're lying. Oh, they don't mean it a bit, right? They're not really sorry. They're just saying what you told them they had to say in order for them to get up and go keep playing. And so as the adult, having the apology conversations often feels a lot less like instilling good moral values into your kids and a lot more like just teaching your kids how to stay out of trouble. And you know why it feels that way? Because that's exactly what it is. Oh, we instill good moral values in our kids. Don't get me wrong. At least I hope we all are. But when it comes to apology conversations, nothing really ever changes. Whether you're 3 or 30 or 300, apologies stay the same. They are always the same thing. They are get out of jail free cards. They are requests for forgetfulness. Like, "Hey, I'm sorry for what I did. Could you just forget that ever happened?" There are ways to get out of trouble, is what they are. And that's not always bad. There's a reason we teach this to our kids. Sometimes having other people forget what we've done is a good thing and a right thing. Let's say your roommate asked you to pick up some bread on the way home, and you do it, but you forgot that they prefer whole wheat, and you buy white instead. And you show up, and you see their disappointed face, and what do you say? You say, "I'm so sorry. Could you just forget I did this and just live with it until the next time around?" And they probably say, "Sure. It will taste wrong. I can deal with it, though. I'll forget all about it." Apologies are also good when you do something wrong, but the other person knows that you're trying, right? You're trying to, let's say, get better at keeping your clothes off the floor, but it was a stressful week, and lo and behold, there's a pile of clothes there. This one might be personal, just so you know. And so what do you say? You say, "Hey, I'm really sorry, but it was a hard week. I'll put them away. Can we just forget about it?" And Julia says, "Yes, Chris, I will forget about it another time." Listen, when the damage is small, or it's an isolated incident, apologizing and forgetting really is the best way for everyone to move forward. But church, our kids, they don't know this yet. But I think the rest of us have learned that in life, some things just can't be forgotten. I mean, asking your roommate to forget that you brought home the wrong bread, that's one thing. But asking him to forget that you, I don't know, sold their laptop to support a drug habit, that's a whole different thing now, isn't it? In fact, asking for forgetfulness, for something that shouldn't be forgotten, is a really common form of emotional abuse. It's actually the favorite tool of emotionally abusive partners. I hope you haven't been in this situation, but too many have, where someone is finally fed up and ready to leave and move out and give up on the relationship. Well, what happens? Out of the blue, the abusive partner apologizes. And they'll say, I'm so sorry. Would you just give me another chance? In other words, can you just forget about everything I've done one more time? And you know the right answer to that question? It's no. No, I can't. Some things just can't be forgotten that easily. Sometimes apologizing and forgetting is no way forward at all. And so, church, today we're kicking off a 5-week series between now and the start of Lent all about forgiveness. And we're kicking it off with the scripture passage you just heard. Jesus at the Last Supper as he holds up that cup and says, "This is my blood of the covenant poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." I mean, that event, that covenant to which we all belong, who have been baptized in Jesus' name, that covenant is why we celebrate communion, at least when we're in person and allowed to do it. That covenant is the basis for our relationship with God. That covenant determines how we love and how we live in the world as Christians. It's where Jesus said, "You should love as I have loved you." If we want to hear about forgiveness, there is no better place to start than this. But right out the gate, let me say this. Never confuse forgiving with forgetting. Jesus did not pour out his blood for the forgetting of sins. Forgive and forget, it's a common saying. It is not a Christian one. In fact, church, given the year we have lived through, I think the one thing we can all agree on, maybe the only thing we can all agree on, is that when it comes to so many things, we are far past the point of apologizing and forgetting. In the last year, people have done things that have hurt us, have hurt the people we love, have hurt our communities in ways we cannot simply forget about. Now I know, with of course the Capitol attacks still in the news, I'm sure that the first place your mind probably went is to the national level, to national events that have dominated everything we listen to and read about. Those things political leaders in particular have done that have been completely indefensible, and that's fine. It applies to that. Right, they're your elected leaders, you know. Yeah, don't let them get by with an apology when more is needed. That applies. But I'm going way beyond that, church. This is everywhere now. Everywhere now. Research is already emerging that shows that while Americans in the last year have stayed at home more than ever before, we have moved our relationships more than ever before. Friendships have ended this year. Families have become estranged this year. People have become fed up with the companies they work for and the news outlets they listen to or the churches they go to or the sports teams they root for. I mean, I'm a Buckeye, and I was sad my Buckeyes lost this week, but that is nothing compared to the emotion I've seen from some Wildcat fans, right? Taking a knee led to a lot of people running away. Given up because an apology was not enough. It's everywhere. We all have people, in our lives right now whose actions in the past 12 months are things we cannot simply forget about. And if we're being honest, it's us too. Now, you may be an exception to this, and bless you if you are. I am proud of you and deeply impressed, because I'm not. Because I think almost every one of us, at some point the last 12 months, has not just done something wrong that can be apologized for and forgotten about, but has done something to someone that that person should not and probably cannot simply forget. And I know we have excuses. I know we have mitigating circumstances. Maybe it was, you know, something like the fact that we just had so much cabin fever, we were ready just to tear things in half. Or we lost our job and we were desperate and just couldn't seem to control what we were saying. Or maybe someone hurt us first and we were just responding quicker than we could pull ourselves back. All of that is real. But it doesn't change what we did. I think almost all of us are guilty of something that the person we hurt can't forget about. The world we live in, the world we have entered in 2021, it is a world where apologies and forgetfulness are simply not enough anymore. Thankfully, just because some actions can't be forgotten doesn't mean they can't be forgiven. There is still hope for us. It's why we need this series so much, right? Because this is what Jesus is offering. This is my blood of the covenant poured out not for the forgetting of sins, for the forgiveness of sins. And forgiveness, church, forgiveness is a whole nother ballgame here. Forgiveness is so much deeper. Jesus isn't talking about an apology and forgetting, like, oh, don't worry, I'll just forget you did all those things. Jesus is offering forgiveness. And forgiveness is powerful. Forgiveness has the power to transform us. It has the power to reconcile us with anyone. It has the power to bring healing and to reforge relationships that are actually more strong and more loving than they were in the first place. Forgiveness has power in it. And it's free. It has to be. It's the only condition, right? You can't earn it, but the good news is you don't have to. It is always offered freely. All you have to do, all I have to do, all we have to do is receive it. But receiving it's hard. When someone forgets what we've done, that's super easy. We just move on with our lives without a second thought. But you don't receive forgiveness by apologizing. You receive forgiveness by confessing. That's why in our prayer time, we prayed that prayer of confession. And each week in this series, we're going to have another prayer of confession. We're going to invite you to join us in, because we need to relearn this. Apologies and confessions from a theological perspective, from a Christian perspective, from a biblical perspective, are not the same thing. We see it all over Scripture, right? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. James 5, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. This is the path, not of forgetting, but of forgiving. Confession leads to forgiveness, which leads to healing and cleansing. Again, confessing is hard. Apologizing is easy. We learned that when we were 3. Any one of us can say, I'm sorry. Confession is a lot harder. Oh, it's harder. An apology says, you know, I'm sorry, just forget about it. But a confession says, I'm sorry. I was not who I should have been. I was a different person. I betrayed who I was, and I betrayed you, and I betrayed God, and I did it for stupid, selfish reasons. Confession is hard. So hard, because when you confess, you're not asking the other person to forget what you've done. Actually, you're doing quite the opposite. When you confess, you're telling the other person that what you've done is so bad that they should always remember that you are capable of it. You're telling them that they should stop assuming that you were anywhere good enough or strong enough or faithful enough to never stoop to that level because you've already done it. You were admitting that you were so deeply flawed and imperfect that the person you were confessing to needs to completely adjust their mental image of you and maybe even cut off their relationship with you completely. Confessing is hard because confession is honest. It speaks not just hard truths, it speaks the hardest truth for us, the most painful truth for us. But confession, still, is the only road to forgiveness. And when we are guilty of actions that cannot be forgotten, forgiveness is our only path to freedom. That's what we need. That's what you're feeling in these days. You are feeling unfree, chained to your own sins and the sins of others. We as a church, we as our individual families, we as a community, we as a nation, church, what we are feeling are chains. Chains that have been forged through our own sin and the evil we have done. Sin and evil that cannot simply be forgotten. Church, what you are feeling in these days is a yearning for freedom. A freedom through forgiveness. Forgiveness through confession. Church, what you're yearning for is a freedom that is divine. Given by God. That has the power to change everything. I mean, for one, this freedom, it's a freedom from the person you've now admitted you can be. It's amazing what that moment can do to us. I don't know your moment, but I know that you do. That one moment you don't like to think about. That moment, that worst moment that you don't tend to tell many people about. You know what that moment does? It becomes a black hole in our lives. Once you've stooped to whatever that level is, it's like you've been knocked off your own pedestal. And now all of a sudden, that mixture of guilt and shame and anger at yourself and despair, it's like a gravitational pull that constantly drags you back down to that level you don't want to go to. When you've really gone that far, it almost feels like you can't get away anymore. But with forgiveness, that gravity goes away. With forgiveness, that blame is gone. That shame is gone. That anger at yourself is gone. That discouragement about your future that you could ever break free, all gone. With forgiveness, your past, it will still always be your past. But now forgiveness looks at you and said, yes, you will always have been that person you were, but who you are will never be defined by who you were. Your worth is no longer determined by what you have done. Freedom from that moment, that person you became. But it doesn't stop there. No. Forgiveness also frees us from needing that forgetfulness. I mean, I've alluded to this already, but let me just say this very, very clearly. We spend a lot of time trying to get people to forget what we need them to forgive. I'm going to say that again. We spend a lot of time trying to get people to forget what we need them to forgive. But once you do ask for it, once you confess, and if you can receive that forgiveness back, once you are forgiven, it's amazing. Suddenly you don't need other people to forget about it anymore. All that work you put in to try and get them to agree to forget about it, you don't need it. If you've harmed those people so much that they can't be around you anymore, even to that degree, you can accept even that. Even affirm it, right? You can't undo the damage, but you are free to move forward, even if that means having to give up on a relationship because of what you've done. And if other people who know about it try and bring it up and shame you for it, well, you know what? All that does is tell you, you probably don't need those people in your life. You may lose relationships, but you are still free to move forward, to allow others to move forward, and to move forward yourself. But there's more here. Forgiveness also frees us to discover a new self. Not only are we freed from the gravity of that black hole, we have another destination in mind. We don't always know much about it, but we can get a glimpse of it at times, that there's a future for us that wasn't there before. See, once you've accepted who you've been, but also accepted forgiveness, you are free to grow and change and be transformed and embrace all of that without fear. The love you've been shown, that's what forgiveness really is. The love you've been shown, it takes root within you. It digs deeper and deeper and deeper within you, and then it begins to sprout up and spread beauty in the world. Suddenly you can dare to be different, make mistakes, do things wrong, because you know you are ultimately free. You can dare to do things. You can be humble enough to make mistakes. You can be strong enough to take risks and be burned by others and endure it. You become joyful and dangerous at the same time. And finally, what might be the greatest freedom of all, you are now free to forgive others. Now, this is a whole nother level of hard, and at times it can be complicated. So don't worry, we're going to take more time on this in the coming weeks and unpack exactly the whys and the hows of all of this. But for now, just let me say this. It is true. Once you are forgiven, you have the freedom to offer that forgiveness to other people, even the people who have hurt you the worst, and give them a chance to live a life no longer defined by who they were. Now, not because they'll apologize and you'll just forget about it. That's not how this works, remember. No, but because they will have a chance to confess who they've been, to be forgiven, and to have the freedom to become someone new, just like you did. It's possible. Church, it's incredible. This forgiveness we receive and the freedoms it offers, it never ceases to amaze me. And let me say again, this is what you're feeling. As you sit at home or as you go about the world, that tightness in your chest, that pain in your brain, what you're feeling is a longing for forgiveness for all that is around us to just be released. It's not an easy road to get there. And I'm making no promises on anyone's behalf that we will. But at least for you, it's possible. I know most of you know that you can be forgiven. I know many of you grew up in the church and you've heard this your whole life. But can I just ask for you to pause for a moment and think, when's the last time you felt it? When's the last time you had that heart-to-heart with God or that heart-to-heart with the people in your lives, and you didn't just apologize and you didn't try and wheedle them into forgetting what you've done, but you owned it and you said, no, I've not been the person you had every right to expect me to be, but now I'm not just apologizing, I'm confessing, please, please, please forgive me. How long since you've done that? And how long since you received that amazing, miraculous, blissful forgiveness, and you receive the power that went with it and the freedoms that went with it, and you realize that you could breathe again. How long has it been? This has been a long, long, hard, hard year, and we have not endured it well. Again, if you're the exception, I'm amazed at you. But I, at least, have not endured it well. And many of you have shared with me that you haven't either. Maybe we didn't cross that line often, but we crossed it. Did things that can't just be forgotten, that need forgiven. And we have been so very slow for so many reasons to ask for it. Church, this is our opportunity. This is our opportunity to look back, to take stock, and to own up. if not for the sake of others, for the sake of yourself. So you can breathe again, so your shoulders can drop again, so you can get a night's sleep again. Forgetting won't do it. It's not possible anyway. It's only with forgiveness. And you can. Church, that is the good news of Jesus' new covenant. His blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. All you have to do is receive it. You can confess. And it is free. You can be forgiven again. You can have that freedom again. You can have it right now. Wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever your circumstances, whatever others have done, and I know a little bit of what they've done, and I know it is bad, but whatever it is, you still have the chance to do what you can. To go before God first, to go before others first, and to walk this hard road. And to enjoy the freedom on the other side. All you have to do is pray with me. Let's pray. Almighty God, we have done many, many things wrong. We've made many mistakes, and we do hope those can be forgotten. But God, that's not what today is about. Today, God, we remember the times we crossed that line, the times we betrayed you and ourselves and the people in our lives. God, we confess, as we prayed earlier, we have not loved you with our whole heart, that we failed to be an obedient church, that we have not done your will, that we've broken your law and all the rest. God, that's been us. Forgive us, we pray, and free us for joyful obedience, God. Give us all the freedoms that you have promised in Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.